Father in heaven, if I've said or done anything to displease you, forgive me. With that forgiveness, dear God, grant me an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, not for my sake, but that the Spirit may tell me what to say, may give power to my words, and may enlighten the minds of those who listen. Father in heaven, surround this place with angels that excel in strength, that the forces of darkness may be kept at bay. We thank you, dear God, that in this country of the Philippines, we still enjoy freedom of worship. We thank you for that. Help us to make the most of it, because it will not last forever. Father in heaven, I ask you to pour out a double blessing on all our guests who came tonight. Let them be so touched, dear God, that they'll want to come back. Now, Father, I commit this service to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. I pray for those who are connecting via the internet. Bless them, dear God, as verily as you bless us in this sacred building. And through the agency of your Spirit, in his mysterious way, connect all our hearts as one. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Our subject, first things first. Matthew 5, we'll read from verse 21. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 5, reading from verse 21. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the judgment. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way." What's the next word? First, be reconciled to thy brother, finish the verse, and then come and offer thy gift. Look at two words if you have the King James Version. First. And the next word is then. Are you concentrating? Are you thinking? Jesus says, first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Which means, every weekend all over the world, there are Christians worshiping God in vain, because they have not yet settled a dispute with someone in the church or outside of the church. And Jesus says, when you bring your gift to the altar, when you come to worship, if you realize there's a relationship that's broken and there's something I can do, Jesus says, leave the gift at the altar. Go do something first, then come and offer your gift. So in the mind of Jesus, it is more important to have the right relationships one with the other than to sing in the choir, even though the choir sang so beautifully. It is more important that your heart is right with your fellow sister and your fellow brother than to occupy 7 offices in the church. A right relationship, a pure heart, is more important to God than being busy in the church. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then. The words first and then suggest a chronology, a series of events. A comes first, then what? B. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We read a very familiar verse. Verse 33 of Matthew 6. What's our subject? First things first. It's 25 after 7. Release you by 8. The Bible says, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? Food, clothing, shelter, the necessities of life. Jesus says, here is food, here is clothing, here is shelter, here is the righteousness of God. Jesus says, seek the righteousness of God first. Which means, in the eyes of God, it is more important to be righteous than to be well fed. It is more important to be right with God than to be well dressed. It is more important to have a right relationship with God, to do what is right in the sight of God, than to drive the most expensive car in Manila. First, seek the righteousness of God, and all these things shall be added. Our subject, first things first. Let us go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. We'll read from verse 1. Let's read together. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, listen to verse 3. What does verse 3 say? Come on, read loudly. And how, come on, canst thou, behold, why beholdest thou, come on, the mote, read with me, that is in where? Thy brother's eye, come on, read. And beholdest not the beam, come on, that is in thine own eye. Now, Jesus says, there is something in your eye the size of this Bible. And there's something in your brother's eye the size of a mustard seed. Christ is saying, how is it that with this thing in your eye, you can see the mustard seed in your brother's eye? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and beholdest not the beam that is on thine own eye? Or how shalt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Read verse 5 with me. Thou hypocrite, keep reading. First, stop. First, do what? Cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Jesus says, first, get yourself right before you try to make others right. There are some church members, their spiritual gift is correcting other people. And that's not a spiritual gift. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sin must be rebuked. God hates sin because sin put Christ on the cross. But their members, their speciality is finding fault in people and trying to straighten them out. Jesus says, in order to do that, there must be no beams in your own eye. So we have first, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer the gift. Matthew 6:33, first seek God's kingdom, then the other necessities of life. Matthew 7, verse 5, first cast the beam out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the mote out of somebody else's eye. Let us go to Matthew 9, our subject, first things first. The theme for this week is freedom from what? Fear. Matthew 9, reading from verse 10. When you found out, say amen. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw that, they said unto his disciples, why eatest thou your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, what? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. Now read with me. For I will have mercy, come on, and not sacrifice. Stop. Jesus says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now let me clarify. Christ isn't saying, do not bring sacrifices. He was the one who instituted the sacrificial service. What he's saying is, I prefer mercy to killing animals. I will have mercy, because the Pharisees who were criticizing Christ for eating with publicans and sinners were not merciful to the poor and to the suffering. Jesus said, it is more important to be merciful than to bring an endless round of sacrifices. And so it is mercy first. Are you with me? Let's go to Matthew 23. We'll read verse 23. Our subject, first things first, it is now precisely 7:30. Matthew 23, reading from verse 23. When you found it, say amen. If you're not afflicted by shyness, you can read with me. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, what does he call them? Hypocrites. Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. What did he say after that? Men have neglected what? The weightier matters of the law. What are they? Judgment or justice, mercy and faith. These ye ought to have done and not left the others undone. Now Jesus said there's something more important than giving God exactly 10 pesos out of 100. Justice, mercy, faith. They come first. And so we have Matthew 5, first. Matthew 6, first. Matthew 9, 7, first. Matthew 9, first. Matthew 23, first. There are, in the eyes of God, some things that should come ahead of others. If that's clear, say amen. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you remember from last night? Let me ask you some quiz questions. What was one of the things that sin brought into the world? Give me one word. Fear came because of sin. Give me the longer definition of sin. Disobedience. Now, what is the opposite of sin? Obedience. When we obey, what goes? Fear. The Bible says, perfect love does what? Casteth out all fear. Where there is love, there is no fear. Now, love and obedience are the same thing. Are you with me? Do you remember that from last night? Love and obedience are the same thing. Let me say that differently. Obedience is love in action. Works is faith in action. There is no love for God where there is no obedience. It's practical. All right. Having said that, and refresh your memory, let us go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject is what? First things first. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, of course. 1 Samuel 15, reading from verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Let me pause and give you the background. When the Israelites were escaping from Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, they were running through the wilderness, the Amalekites attacked them. They were not an organized army. They were escaping slaves led by Moses under God's direction. They weren't drilled in military activities. The Amalekites attacked them. And God told Joshua in Exodus 18:14, I believe it is, that I will destroy this nation from under heaven someday. But it took God over 300 years to do it, because God was hoping the Amalekites would do what? Repent. God never prefers to punish. He prefers to bless. I believe I said it yesterday. Punishment is an unusual behavior for God. Did you hear what I said? Punishment is unusual behavior for God. Because when God made the heaven and the earth, it was perfect. There was no need for punishment. Sin made punishment necessary. And so punishment is strange behavior for God, even though he has to do it, because he's a God of justice. But God prefers to bless. To see that punishment is not God's preferred behavior, listen to this verse. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The Bible is saying God never punishes us as fully as we deserve. On the other side, he blesses us beyond anything we can ever. Because blessing is God's natural behavior. Punishment is strange work for God. If that's clear, say amen. And so over 300 years, the Amalekites never repented. And so God said to Saul, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Kill everything. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Verse 5. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Verse 7, the Bible says, and Saul did what? Smote the Amalekites from Havilah till thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. The Bible says Saul defeated the Amalekites. But read verse 8 nice and loud. What does verse 8 say? And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. How many people did God tell Saul to kill? Everybody. Saul brought back one man. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of his sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. In other words, Saul obeyed God 99%. Now, in any scenario, 99% is impressive. If you are a statistician, and you work out your figures, and your figure says 94.7, you round it off to what? 95. Mm-hmm. Listen to me carefully. God does not round off figures. For God, 94.5, finish my words, is 94.5. I'm talking to myself. You're sleeping. You sleep every night. 94.5 for God is 94.5. Because God is not a statistician, God is a mathematician. God is precise. So God said, kill how many people? Everybody. He brought back one man. Let's say the Amalekite population was 2 million. One man out of 2 million, surely that's total obedience in the eyes of God. It's not. Let's read verse 10 and verse 11. Then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. Finish verse 11. And hath not performed my commandments. Stop right there. Don't finish it. Now Saul brought back one man, and God regretted having made him king. One iota of disobedience. Because disobedience, you see, is a deadly, deadly virus. Have you ever seen a virus? Can you show me a virus? I'm looking. Show me a virus. Show me a bacterium. I'm looking. Show me one. Show me, what's that thing you need show me an enzyme. Show me a molecule. Show me a neuron. Show me a potassium ion. Come on, I'm looking. So I can go back and tell people in the United States, I saw a potassium ion. Show it to me. You cannot. Why? It is so small. Listen to me carefully. If I lose this leg, my right leg, can I still live a healthy life? Yes. Mm-hmm. I may walk strangely, but I can still live a healthy life. Are you following me? If I lose an arm, can I still live a healthy life? Yes. But if the enzymes are not functioning, can I live a healthy life? No. If I cannot produce lactase and I drink milk, I need to go to the hospital. If the neurons are not firing, if there's no message passing across the synaptic cleft for you doctors, there's no neurotransmitter that carries the message across that gap, then I can't move an arm. This macroscopic arm can move because something microscopic is not working. Listen to me. One virus of disobedience is enough to destroy the universe if it is not dealt with. There's no such thing as a little sin. Let me explain. You tell me what Adam's sin was. What did Adam do? He consumed a fruit. Who goes to prison for that? Nobody. Who is executed? Nobody. But what was the punishment for eating that fruit? Death. In the eyes of God. Are you listening to me? In the eyes of God, the smallest act of disobedience deserves death. You know, God has one punishment for sin. Tell me what that is. Death. Regardless of the sin. Because sin is so hideous, sin is so horrible, sin is so horrific, sin is such a threat to the righteous kingdom of God that the only response a merciful living God has is death. The wages of sin, finish it for me, is death. Now, in the Philippines, if you steal a bicycle, you may go to prison for a month or 2 weeks. Or if the judge likes you, he may slap you on the wrist and tell you don't do it again. If you steal a cow, you may go to jail for 6 months, or you have to pay the price of the cow. If you steal a car, you may go to jail for 9 months. If you rob a bank, you may go to jail for 10 years. If you sell dope, you may end up in a graveyard. You know, whatever it is. There are various punishments for various crimes. And the smaller the crime, the smaller the punishment. Are you with me? With God. If you steal a banana, what's the punishment? If you kill 1,000 people, what's the punishment? Death. If you steal a needle, what's the punishment? Death. If you exceed the speed limit by 0.5 of a kilometer, what's the punishment? Death. That's because sin is such a terrible thing. It is not because God is harsh. It is because sin is so terrible. Now, God told Saul, kill all the Amalekites. Saul saved one. And God said, he hath not performed my commandments. My brothers and sisters, don't serve God based on averages. There are 10 commandments. I keep 9. Why is God complaining? You sit an exam for the medical school. You get 98 out of 100. You're a genius. In God's eyes, on the exam of obedience, you failed. Because sin, as I said, is a terrible thing. Now, listen to Samuel rebuking Saul. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, 23, our subject. First things first, it's almost 7:45. I'll let you go on time. Please don't worry. 1 Samuel 15, reading from verse 22. When he found it, say amen. Listen to Samuel. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Finish that verse for me, nice and loud. Behold, to obey is better, come on, than sacrifice, come on, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let's pause. Let me pray again. Father, as I come to the conclusion of this message, please, God, give me clarity of speech. Give me the right ideas in the right sequence, Father. And enlighten those who are listening, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen microscopically. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Here's what we have. We have obedience, and we have offerings, and we have delight right in the middle. The verse is saying, God experiences more delight for what? Obedience than he does for sacrifices. Let's read even more let's think microscopically. What do you understand by sacrifices? You bring a lamb back then, not now, a sheep, a goat, a red heifer, a turtle dove. You sacrifice it to God. And it symbolized the blood of Christ who would come to die for the world, the ultimate sacrifice. Now the Bible says, God regards obedience more highly than he does sacrifice. Including the sacrifice of Christ. Let me pause right there and allow you to think of what I just said. It sounds blasphemous. Let me ask you this. And reply to me with one word. Why did Christ have to die? One word. Sin. If there had been no sin, finish my words, there would be no need for sacrifice. What is sin? Give me the long version. Disobedience. What's the opposite of disobedience? Obedience. Now, listen to God. Hath the Lord, listen to Samuel, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Do you know if Adam had that wisdom, we would not be in this condition today? We are in this condition because the first man did something. What did he do? He disobeyed God. Listen to God rebuking Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. God said, because you listen to your wife, not to me. And so Romans 5, verse 19, I believe it is, wherefore as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who was the disobedient man? Adam. Who's the obedient man? Christ. It is obedience and disobedience. And so God tells Samuel, tell Saul, and tell everyone who reads the Bible, I prefer obedience to all the sacrifices. Have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience and sacrifice. Sacrifice has a very short history. It began with the fall of Adam, and it will end when Christ comes back. There will be no more need for him to apply the merits of his sacrifice. Now, obedience has existed before sin. Are you following me? When Jesus said in John 8:29, listen carefully, he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do what? Always those things that please him. Now think with me, think. When Jesus said, I do always those things that please him, was he only referring to his human lifespan? No. Do you know what he told Abraham? Not Abraham, the Pharisees. Before Abraham was, I am. Christ was never unaware of his eternal origin, well, I don't use the word origin, that he has always been there before he came in human form. And so when Jesus says, I do always the things that please him, we must take the word always and take it all the way back to his years with the Father long before there was sin. Jesus has always obeyed the Father. Obedience existed before there was sacrifice. Sacrifice became necessary because of, tell me, disobedience. When Jesus comes back, changes the world, destroys the sinners, makes a brand new world, and we live in that world, sacrifice would have come to an end, but obedience will continue. Because the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Obedience will continue forever. Sacrifice will end. And so God said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. sin. What's the long version for sin? Disobedience. That's why we are where we are. Now, when we are crippled by fear, it affects our thinking. That's why when you join the army or special forces, you are trying to control what? Your fear. Because it affects your judgment. It affects your thinking. It leads to panic. But when the fear is absent, you think calmly. You think quietly. And so when Jesus was on that boat, in Mark 4, 37 to 41, he was asleep on a pillow in a storm because he trusted his Father. No fear. The disciples were panicking. My brothers and sisters, what's our theme for this week? Tell me quickly. Freedom, come on, from fear. What brought fear into the world? One word. Give me the long version. Disobedience. God says, look, the thing I prefer more than anything else is obedience. Can God get that from you tonight? Can God get from us a commitment to obey Him? But obedience is not easy for an unconverted person. You know why? The Bible says because the carnal mind is enmity against God. A sinner naturally does not like God. A sinner may like church, but not God. That's why most people in church are hypocrites. The people who said, crucify him, they were in church. Are you following me? A sinner loves church, not God. Because to love God, you must obey him. But the carnal mind hates to obey. So the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, the carnal mind is in a state of constant, unchanging disobedience. That's the carnal mind. We disobey God, we disobey our parents, we disobey the government, we disobey the police, we disobey the tax system, we disobey our supervisors, we disobey our spouses, we disobey everybody. Because that's the life of a sinner. Disobedience is the natural behavior of a sinner, as verily as flying is the natural behavior of a bird. But here's how good God is. Because God loves obedience so much. God has promised, look, if you come to me, I will write my law, where? On your heart. Then you will obey me from the heart. I will do something miraculous. I will make you an obedient creature. It's like God takes a pig from a mud hole and turns it into a high-flying Philippine eagle. And it just soars high above. A different species altogether. God doesn't take a dirty pig and make it a clean pig. That's not conversion. Because it's still a pig. Are you following me? He takes a pig and makes it an eagle. Tonight, God wants all of us to obey Him. Do what I say. Because God knows the end from the beginning. Parents, you can understand God because you want your children to obey you. When you see your 14-year-old girl hanging out with friends that you know they're no good, you see the direction your child is heading and you worry and you ask the pastor, pray for my daughter, and you restrict her to her house and you take away the car keys and you shut down her phone because you're trying to keep her from certain disaster. Why? Because as a parent, you can see miles ahead of her. God can see miles ahead of you. And God says to you, obey me. Because obedience will keep us from a thousand disasters. And so tonight I say for the final time, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice. This is the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Ooh. Rebellion, which is another word for disobedience, is as the sin. You see, the reason for that is, when you disobey God, in that action, you've obeyed the devil. Let me say it again. There's a law that says, for every action, finish it for me, you physicists, there's an equal and up. Now, it is a physical law. It is also a spiritual law. Listen to Jesus. He that is not with me is against me. A yes to the devil is a no to God. Let me say it again. You look delightfully lost. Listen to me again. When you say no to God, what have you just said? Yes to Satan. For every action, come on, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Every time you disobey God, you've obeyed the devil. We need to stop obeying the devil and go to church thinking we're serving God. Are you following me? And God doesn't accept it. When the Israelites made a golden calf, it's 5 to 8, they made a golden calf. You know, the Bible says they dedicated idol worship to God. Exodus 32, verse 6. They dedicated it, verse 5, to God. The fact that you do it in a church does not make it acceptable to God. God wants obedience, plain and simple. Now my question is there someone listening to me? There's an area of your life where you know you're disobedient. No guesswork. You know you're disobedient. There's an area in your life where you are knowingly, willfully, deliberately, intentionally, purposefully disobedient. And you want to say, Father, tonight, change my heart and give me a mind to obey you. Is there someone like that? You know you're wrong. Stand up with me. But you keep doing it. Ask God to change that, and he will. Because if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When we get rid of disobedience, we get rid of fear. We are made free from fear, because the source of fear is sin, and sin is disobedience. My friends, as you stand, remember God has registered your decision. Ask God to give you a heart to obey him. The very first promise of the Bible, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. The first promise of the Bible is a promise from God that helps us to hate sin. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, thanks again for this tremendous honor of delivering your word. As always, Father, forgive me for speaking badly. Help me to do better tomorrow night. But Father, I hope you'll take this message, weak as it was, salvage it, dear God. Repair it. Fix it up. And make it even clearer to those of us who heard. So as we leave and meditate, we may see things we did not see while the message was presented. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, give us a love for obedience. Open our eyes to see the suicidal nature of a disobedient life. We're killing ourselves. And bless your sons and your daughters, dear God. As we leave, let's leave asking for this heart to obey you, because you prefer obedience to all the sacrifices we can make. As we leave tonight, let powerful angels escort us home. Watch over us as we sleep, dear God. Protect every home represented by this congregation. Bring us back tomorrow night to this place to hear your word again. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.